Oh man, thank you, Lord, for this time in your house, God. Thank you, Lord. We've come here to meet you, Jesus. Not to put on any kind of show, Lord, not to be glib and entertaining, Lord, but to seek your face. God, you're the reason we're here today. And Father, I know that we bring a lot of baggage with us on Sunday morning. We can't just simply turn off our emotions. But we pray, Lord God, that that would not get in your way, Lord. That you would meet us at our point and place of need and reveal your sufficiency, Lord. Reveal your sufficiency, God. We just long to see you and to know your name, Lord. So we pray you would just reveal your name to us today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I need a male volunteer. By the way, what day is it today?
Sunday.
Sunday. That's right, man. We live for this stuff. We're here. Man, we've been waiting all week for this stuff. So in order to really kick it off, I need a male volunteer. I need somebody who is courageous and stout of heart.
That's me.
Nathan, come on up here, brother. Praise God. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Now that's...
I don't got to eat nothing, do I?
You don't have to eat anything today, actually. He's looking at my notes. He's like, all right, I gotta find out where this guy's going with this. You're a pretty courageous kind of guy.
Sure.
Are you comfortable being up here?
Sure. Now?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable now, but I'm trying to know everybody.
You're among friends. Yeah, I mean, you know. Yeah,
maybe this is my first time I might be like back here or something, but I know most people.
Good, good. I'm glad you said that. Okay, well, the topic of the sermon today is something that's been talked a lot about at different times. In fact, we're going to be talking a lot about this subject as we continue through the book of Acts and go through the passage that we've come to in our study in the book of Acts. I think this is, by the way, week 28. We've been 28 weeks studying the book of Acts. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, yes, sir, that's right. And today we're going to talk about circumcision. Guess we'll see, won't we? Circumcision, yeah. Are you still comfortable?
Sure.
Good. Have faith, brother. Be strong and of good courage. Circumcision. Well, now, before we dive into this, because this raises a lot of questions. In fact, we're going to even need next week to finish answering some of the questions that this raises. But before we do, we'd like to have a little fun. And we're going to have a little quiz game show, okay? A little quiz for you, Nathan. And we'll do this sort of Jeopardy style. In other words, I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer, and then you will have to give me the question. Exactly. You familiar with that? All right. Now, let me just say at the beginning, there is no actual prize or anything like that for getting the answers right. I would highly recommend you don't get any wrong. Okay, let's dive right in. Answer number one. Nathan, when God made a covenant with Abraham, he commanded that this be done to all the males in the household as a sign of the covenant. And what do you think the question is?
When his wife serves him dinner.
He's sharp. He's sharp. Actually, the answer is, what is circumcision? Amen? Okay, let's try another one. That was pretty witty, though. I mean, I have to give you credit. All right, this one. The answer, Zipporah, the wife of Moses, was the first woman in Scripture to do this to her son. And the question is, or, oh, that's a good question. And the answer is, what is circumcision? Wow.
Gotcha.
Let's try another one.
I got you.
Okay.
It seems like there's a... I got you. Go ahead.
It's all in your head. It's all in your head.
Oh,
we can't. We're in church now. We can't do that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay. Answer. Under Mosaic law, the law of Moses, this had to be done to every male child on the eighth day. What do you think the question is?
When is the eighth day?
Monday. The question is,
the day after Sunday.
What is circumcision? Okay, so how many, you've had three questions so far?
Sure.
And how many did you get wrong?
All.
It's not looking good, brother. Let's see if we can bail you out here. Answer, as a symbol of heart purity, the Lord commanded Israel that this should be done to their hearts. What do you think the answer is? Or the question?
I don't know. What is the answer?
What do you guys think?
Circumcision.
That's amazing. Whoa. Luke, did you put that up there for them?
No.
That's incredible. You guys are really good. Okay, let's go to the next one, the last one. When a person is born again by faith in Jesus Christ, this has already been done to their heart without human hands.
Circumcision. What is circumcision?
And the answer? All right, you're safe, brother, you're safe. Nathan, thank you so much. Let's give him a big hand. He is a courageous man, stout of heart, very bold. And by the way, you can get these beautiful knives from Pampered Chef. Stainless steel. Praise God. Now, we've seen that under the law of Moses in the Old Testament, if a person wanted to participate in God's covenant that he made with them, where he promised them all kinds of blessings, if they wanted to be a partaker of that, they had to, as a Jew, undergo circumcision on the eighth day. Now, if a Gentile wanted to be a partaker of that, he basically had to become a Jewish person by the rite of circumcision. They would do some other things, you know, washings and things and ceremony, but he would have to be circumcised, and then he would no longer be considered a Gentile. He would actually be considered a Jew under the covenant with Moses. Now, we've seen a few weeks ago that as we were moving through the book of Acts and the gospel began to spread, we saw a few guys who were Gentiles, and they were known as God-fearers because they embraced Judaism, but they would not take that final step of being circumcised. And there's a couple reasons that were likely for why they would not do that. I mean, one is kind of obvious, you know. But the other is, you know, when you became a Jew, remember, they were not allowed to fellowship with Gentiles. They couldn't eat, under their culture, they could not eat with Gentiles. They could not marry a Gentile. They had to cut off that sense of friendship and fellowship. And a lot of these Gentiles just didn't want to do that. They had family. They had deep friendships that they didn't want to cut off. And so, don't even go there. Just don't even go there, Tom. They had family and friendships and relationships, Dave, that they didn't want to cut off. And so they would not actually take that final step and undergo that surgery. Praise God. Now, in the New Testament, under the new covenant that's given to us in Jesus Christ, that is not necessary. The only thing needed for salvation in the New Testament is faith in Christ. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, and that not of ourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When we talk about repentance from sin and faith in Christ, they're two sides of the same coin. Repenting from sin, you're turning from sin to embrace Christ by faith. So we're not leaving out repentance, but it's just the other side of the same coin. Praise God. And you know what? I think that's a wonderful truth, don't you? I mean, think about it. You know, what if after, you know, we went through this message or something like that, we were to give an altar call? If that was not true, if you still had to be circumcised in order to get saved, altar calls would take on a whole different context. You know, you'd be up there, all right, with every head bowed and with every eye closed. Anybody who would like to receive Christ as their Savior, just raise your hand. You'd hear the sound in the background. I see that trembling hand, yes. That's what we're talking about. Trying to perfect something in the spirit, something that's been started in the spirit by an act of something in the flesh. And that sounds a little ridiculous. I mean, isn't it ridiculous to think, you know, if somebody came up and wanted to receive Christ, they'd have to undergo this kind of a ritual or procedure in order to get saved? Doesn't that sound a little, you know, praise God. And that whole concept is totally foreign to us. And it's hard to imagine. It's hard to go back thousands of years in our mind and imagine that, wow, there was a time when this was actually true. In the early church, it wasn't such a clear issue. There were some deep schisms and divisions over this whole thing, because for thousands of years, this was the covenant sign. This was the sign that God gave to say, yes, you belong to me. You have my grace and my blessings and all of the covenant benefits and promises that goes along with being a person of God, a man of God or a woman of God. And that seems foreign to us now, but that was a deeply held conviction in that day. It was scandalous to suggest otherwise. And so all of a sudden you had Paul and Barnabas going out and reaching all of these Gentiles with the gospel, and they're turning to Christ in multitudes. By the droves, they're getting saved. And nothing to do with circumcision or anything like that. And all of a sudden, this issue comes up, and some guys start to say, hey, wait a minute.